food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, April 15th. April 15th? I got taxes on my mind, Al. April 5th, 2016.
Well, it's better than April Fool.
It just depends on...
Yeah, whether you're the fooler or the foolie.
April 5th. And speaking of April 15th, I hope all you listeners out there are soon to be done with your taxes. The big old tax time deadline, April 15th. And today, gold had no deadline. It was up $13.90. Up $13.90 for gold at $12.30.20. You have silver up $22. Nice to see it back up over 15.23. Platinum was up 8 at 953. Palladium, though, was negative down 5 at $549. The U.S. DX today was up a little bit, 08 at 94.64. Crude oil was up a tiny bit, 0.25 at 35.95. In the paper markets today, there was pressure. The Dow was down triple digits most of the day, came back a little bit, but, you know, really nothing, you know, wasn't even down 1%, 133 points, 17,603. The NASDAQ was down 47 at 48.43, and the S&P was down 20 at 2,045. And I do hear some kind of noise, Al. Are you trying to?
Nope. People outside the window.
10-year yield today was 1.73, still going lower, down 0.05. 1.73% for the 10-year yield. The euro, 1.14 for the euro. And all foreign markets were down considerably. Germany was down almost 3%, and London was down a little over 1%. All the Asian markets were down. So surprising that the U.S. Well, it's not surprising because we all know how they do it. The Dow was not down 1%. So one of the reports, financial reports that came out today was the U.S. trade deficit. And, of course, that widened more than expected in February. You had a little bit of rebound in exports, but it was offset by an increase in imports. Go figure, when they're currently estimating the first quarter to be below 1%, a 1% pace. And so if they're telling us that they believe that growth for the first quarter is going to be below 1%, well, you know, it's going to be, the truth of the matter is, it's probably likely negative growth. But the Commerce Department, today's the Tuesday, the trade gap increased 2.6% to $47.1 billion. January's trade deficit was revised slightly higher to $45.9 billion, previously reported $45.7 billion. So most of the information in this report is really not good news. But what was interesting, it shows that in February, what I thought was kind of odd, in February there were increases in exports of food. Okay, so you had increase of exports of food, automobiles and parts, as well as consumer goods. But the imports were driven by a surge in food imports, which actually hit a high record high. And I don't know, I just found that was a little interesting. Here you are, exports of food increased a little bit in February, but also the imports of food hit a record high. So, yeah, it's, I just found that interesting.
We're trading food.
Yeah.
Long before we're trading, who knows, water. No, we'll be trading our water for their water.
Maybe.
Eventually, our shelters for their shelters. We'll be able to get a good deal, send our houses to them. They'll send grass huts to us. Everybody will be happy.
Imports from China fell about 2.7%. The drop in imports outpaced the fall in exports. Donald Trump will have something to say about that, I am sure. And there's another report floating around about the J.P. Morgan. They're beginning to crack down on people as they're pulling out tens of thousands of dollars at a time at the ATM machines. So they're capping ATM withdrawals at 1,000 per card daily. Well, it shows you how long it's been.
Sounds just like Cyprus, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, the last time I used an ATM machine, you could only withdraw $200. So I guess
I'm surprised to hear. I don't know where they're finding an ATM machine that allows $10,000. But it may be they're making, who knows, 10 separate withdrawals. They just run the card in again and again and again. I don't know how it's been working, but I'm much surprised. I haven't made an ATM withdrawal in a long time also, but I never got $10,000 out of an ATM machine.
Yeah, it was $200. Well, now they're capping it per card daily. You know, so it's $1,000 per card daily. And this is for non-customers. It's not for the J.P. Morgan Chase customers. It's non-customers. And, of course, they're using the excuse of perhaps money laundering, drug activities in order that these people want to.
What if you sign a voucher? No, I'm not doing any
drugs. I'm really not.
This is just to bribe my congressman. if it's to bribe the congressman, go ahead. Take all you want, you know.
But, it's like central banks could really care less about money laundering or drug dealers or anything else. And,
the reports about the central, not the central banks, but the report about major banks.
Major banks.
That have been involved in laundering drug money. That's been going on for a couple of decades.
Yeah,
it's not exactly news.
No, it isn't.
But the fact of this,
what's news is they're putting a limit to the amount of cash that folks can withdraw. And what does it mean? Does it mean that there's a, you know, I've seen big headlines, run on banks? Well, I don't think this is a run on the bank, but it's perhaps a. Something that they're doing so future to prevent future run on banks. But, I found this interesting, but you do have these new banks. You have Bank of America, you have Citigroup, you have Wells Fargo. They're rolling out new ATM machines. And what I think is important too is a lot of these ATM machines are going to replace the bank employees, the bank tellers.
Well, they already have to some extent,
but they're going to be doing it. But they're going to be doing it to a much larger degree. And again, it's just another sign how people are being replaced by technology. And
It's the whole idea. I mean, when somebody gives you labor-saving technology, it means that somebody's not going to have a job. When somebody gives you a technology that's going to cut the costs of doing whatever you're doing, it means somebody is not going to get paid to do what you're doing up until now. All the technology is ultimately, I mean, it's always been a means of putting somebody out of work. But the problem we have with the digital technology that's here now, well, I don't exactly even know what the problem is. I mean, all technology has always tended to reduce labor, reduce costs, should put somebody out of work. But for whatever reason, we continue to grow and continue to grow, or at least we did in this country. But now that we're in this digital age, there are a lot of people in this country who simply don't get digital phenomena. They don't understand it. They're not familiar with computers. They can't use computers. They can't do mathematics. What they can do, you know, historically was some sort of physical labor. And they could move boxes around in the shipping department. They could sweep the floors and wash the windows and take out the trash. And we are getting to a point where there is a whole cadre of people, and not small cadre. There may be a third of the population that isn't going to have a job in the digital age. And it could be half. And maybe more than that if this goes on. What are we going to do? Melody, are you going to hire them?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Put them to work.
But no. You know, and I saw someone talk about this just recently, and they talked about, you know, this is the first time where, and you're right, there was always some sort of labor. It was first agriculture. There was farming. Now our farming, you know, barely produces 2%. I mean, it has dropped significantly, and then it was changed over to the industrial, industrial revolution. But the people could transition from farming to factory work. There was a job that they could transition to.
Yep.
And you're right. Now they can't transition to the jobs that are being created, if they are being created, or they're just flat out being taken away from them.
Well, the jobs created, a robot maintenance mechanic or something. That's got to be there. The robots will have to have some sort of maintenance from time to time. But even that, robot will pull up to a facility and there'll be some automated, be like an automated car wash or something. You just drive up and they wash you off and do whatever has to be done. Don't need any people. Just put your money in the slot and be cleaned up, adjusted, tweaked, whatever has to be done. This whole thing, strange, very strange, and I don't know how it's going to work out, and I can't see an easy solution to this. I can't see a painless solution to this. And I have a lot of people looking for jobs, and they're not going to be able to get them. And again, however many programmers you think you need or systems analysts, there's a fat percentage of the American population that simply lacks the education and intelligence to do that kind of work. And what are we going to do with them?
Well, I've been reading reports, too, where there's more programs being created, automated programs, so you can trade. Computers are doing the trading anymore. So, you know, what are financial plans? You know, there's no need. There's no need for people to do anything.
I understand. There's the real danger in all of this. We are getting into something like Soylent Green, or I don't remember one of the H.G. Wells stories that had the troglodytes who were working underground. They did the actual work, and then they had these people on the surface of the ground that didn't really have anything to do other than just sit around and enjoy themselves, and they were weak. And they were easy game for the troglodytes, or whatever they call those underground people.
The time machine.
Yeah, it might be the time machine. That might have been what it was. But we are coming to a time. What is your value as a man, as a woman, whatever, if you don't have a job? And this is not a small question. And the question is not how much are you worth. The question ultimately is somebody's going to be asking, why are we keeping these people around? I mean, there's where it gets dangerous. The logic of the situation simply leads you to a point, say, why are we keeping all these people? They don't make a productive contribution. They don't even understand what's going on. Shall we keep them as pets? We can feed them and clothe them and one thing and another, take them out for a walk or something like that. What are we going to do with them? And I have no idea how this is going to shake out, but I suspect I'm going to live long enough to see at least the beginning of how it's going to shake out. We'll watch
it. I would assume they would be eliminated somehow, some way.
We can send them to China, maybe. I don't know. And when I say we can send them, I'm hoping that I am not one of them. Somebody wants to ship me to China, Melody. I would appreciate it if you'd put the good word in. So, no, he's got a few more miles in him. He's, you know, he can still make a productive.
Well, then you better behave.
Well, they may be calling me, too. What about her?
Well, I always behave.
I mean, well, I don't know. You know,
Melody who?
Yeah.
Al who? Mm-hmm. We have a few more minutes left. What's next, Al?
Oh, I don't know. Here's something from Jim Rickards, just some comments on gold. And he says people don't really understand gold and why how it functions as money. Make no mistake about it. Gold is money even today. If gold is not money, then explain to me why central banks around the world, including the United States Central Bank, that would be the Federal Reserve, of course, store physical gold and accounts for it as an asset on their accounting ledger. Right? In other words, the banks believe it's money. It's, oh, don't worry about it. You people out there, you don't have to. It's not money. Don't you worry about it. The banks know it's money, and that's why they want it. He points out that the cost of storing gold is no small expense, especially if you're talking about a storage facility like Fort Knox. To be 100% clear, gold is money, period. And it's true. It is money. It's been money for 5,000 years. Federal Reserve notes are less than a century old. Well, I don't know. Not much more than a century old. All right? And I guarantee they're not going to last another century, and they may be lucky to last another 3, 4, 5 years. If, you know, no telling when they're going to be disappearing. Gold has been here for 5,000 years. It's going to be here for a considerable period of time into the future, and Rickards is simply making that point. He goes on, he says, why is gold money? He says there are plenty of good reasons why gold is money. One of them is, what else could be money? You're not going to want something that's radioactive. You're not going to want something that dissolves in water. You're not going to want something that's impossibly scarce. You want it to be scarce, but not too scarce. You don't want a gas that'll go up in the sky. So he's saying gold, he's essentially getting down to a point where gold, it is almost the only real candidate to be money, to be real money in the world. And even though we go out and we spend our little pieces of paper and we purchase things with it and whatever, behind all of this, gold is money and all of the paper is just currency. It's not real money. We use it. We seemingly get away with using it. But before it's all done, we're going to reach a point where this whole thing is going to blow up on our face in large measure because we have been foolish enough to walk away from real money, that would be gold in particular and silver, and say, oh, we can just trade with these little pieces of paper and just run up this incredible, unpayable national debt and private debts besides that. All of this flows back. If you have real money and someone wants to borrow, then you have to lend them some gold. You can't spin it out of thin air. You've got to actually lend them some gold, or at least some gold certificates that can be redeemed for gold. But the gold has to be there. There has to be some gold there. With the paper and the digital currency, you can spin it out of thin air, and enormous problems flow from that ability to just spin them out of thin air. And sooner or later, it's all going to blow up in our face. And when it does, those who don't have gold are going to wish they did, and those who have paper and digital currencies are going to wish they didn't. Let's take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please take a break.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
We're going to continue the special. There's been a great response to the MinState 61 $20 Liberty gold piece, and of course at the value of able to buy at $29 over what a gold bullion coin would sell for. And of course, that's not the value of the coin. I've reduced my price also in order to give you this great special for MinState 61 $20 Liberty gold pieces. And so a lot of bullion buyers are buying. They now have an opportunity to buy MinState 61 $20 gold pieces. It's a tremendous buy. So we're going to carry those. Now, the price did rise with the increase of gold. And I kept it at that $29 spread from what an American Gold Eagle would sell for. So the current price today would be $1,325. $1,325. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com.
Good article here that comes from the sovereignman.com. And the headline is "Coming Soon: A 100-year loan to a bankrupt government." This, to me, is just an illustration of how the entire global system is so goofy. It's just reached a point where the only alternatives they seem to have that might be able to hold this system together are increasingly irrational proposals. Negative interest rates. This is one of those things where they look you in the eye and they say, "This is rational." This is objective reality. There's nothing wrong with negative interest rates. You put your money in my bank, and I will charge you for keeping your money in my bank. You'll have a negative interest rate. I mean, my God, that's been crazy for thousands of years, and now we're going to try it. It's evidence that we're cracking up. The system is on the verge of some sort of a serious breakdown. And this story about a 100-year loan to a bankrupt government is another illustration of that idea. The government of Ireland is set to issue a bond with a duration of 100 years, an entire century. Just think of how much has happened in the last 100 years. How many wars, how much debt, how many crises. And just imagine what the next 100 years will look like. It seems absolutely insane to take a bet on anything for an entire century, let alone a government that basically went bankrupt just a couple of years ago. It's such a long period of time, you can't even guarantee that the Ireland will even exist after so long. Worse yet, the coupon rate on those bonds that those bonds carry is a measly 2.35%. This is just another stark reminder of how broken the financial system has become. Loaning money to a bankrupt government for 100 years at a rate that's likely below inflation is being dressed up and passed off as a credible investment. And how many other investments are being passed off as credible when they really don't make much sense? The problem, when we talk about it on this program on a regular basis, is you invest your money, your wealth, you're giving it to someone, say, here, and they give you a piece of paper in return with a signature on it and a promise, oh, yeah, we're going to pay. The problem is we are so deep in debt right now, and every debt is a promise to pay. That's what debts are. They're promises to pay. Too many promises. Can't all be kept. Big percentage of the existing debt will have to be repudiated. And it'll either be by open repudiation where somebody says, sorry, we can't pay, too bad for you, or it will be silently repudiated by hyperinflation, which the number is still there. If you loan someone $100,000, they'll come back and give you $100,000, but the $100,000 they give you will only have 10% as much purchasing power as the $100,000 that you loaned. You will lose due to hyperinflation, or you'll lose due to debt repudiation, open repudiation. But you're going to lose if you're lending because there's too much debt. It can't all be repaid. Huh? So here they are, and they say, oh, why don't you lend me $1,000? Melody, why don't you loan me? I'll take out a loan, Melody, and I'll pay you off in the next 100 years. How about that? Well, what do you think, Melody? I mean, you know I'm good for it.
I get
it. You know you can trust me on it.
I get that they're looking to lock in a lower borrowing cost, but you would think over 100 years that the rate would be higher. I mean, because you're right. Who's going to be around in 100 years to, and who knows what's going to go on in 100 years to pay a higher, but let me just put this in here. I was reading a little bit about that earlier today, and Ireland isn't the first country to do this. Mexico sold the world's first 100-year government notes. But what's interesting about this, and this is from a Bloomberg article, they sold it in euros, which I find interesting. Well,
yeah, that's interesting.
Either because no one wants the peso.
That's probably correct.
Yeah.
That's probably correct. I'm guessing, but even that.
But even the euro.
Who thinks the euro is going to last for 100
years? Yeah.
Right? A lot of people
have. Point.
Peso's been here for longer than the euro and perhaps is likely to last longer than the euro lasts in the future. But nevertheless, this is something where, I don't know, these are kind of like collector's items, Melody. I wonder what these bonds are going to be worth in the future. You might not be able to collect on them, but they'll be able to say, John Smith, he was actually dumb enough to buy one of these bonds for 100 years and lend his money to a government that was virtually bankrupt. This is
crazy.
Put in the tequila manufacturer's hall of fame. This is what happens when you got that little worm down there in the bottom of the bottle, Melody. Uh-huh. You drink the worm and you're going to take a 100-year loan out with a bankrupt government. So watch yourself. What else, Melody?
Great wallpapers. Future wallpaper.
Yeah, I know. At best. Unless it's soft and absorbent.
Because we're already using the dollar as the soft and absorbent.
Yeah, I understand that.
So, you know what? It's so crazy. It's so insane now. It really is. I mean, it's bizarre. It's insane. It's beyond recognition that they can continue to do these crazy things, and yet it just, there's no reaction to anything. Sure, we see, you know, a couple hundred point drops, a, you know, 3% drop in stock markets here and there, and, you know, big deal so far. I understand it's going to catch up, and, you know, one day we're going to wake up and there's going to be a 30% drop in a day or more in some of these markets. I get that. But currently now, we're talking now, you have these odd things going on, these odd ways of creating debt, and it, you know, it's just business as usual.
Why do you think it's happening?
Because it can happen.
And the reason
it can
happen,
because there is no reaction.
And the reason there's no reaction is because people are extraordinarily ignorant about money, for example. People don't get it. As long as it spends, they think it's okay. They don't understand the consequences of this fiat currency. They don't understand the consequences of a debt-based monetary system. It's like eating cyanide that's got a thick frosting on it. I said, boy, that's the best cyanide I've ever tasted. Taste this. This is really good cyanide they've produced here. They've managed to produce a frosting to put on the Federal Reserve notes, where we go along with them, but it's happening because people don't have a clue. I've told this story a number of times in the past. A friend of mine back in the 1990s, he had a degree in political science, and he decided to conduct an experiment, and he went to 7-Eleven stores. And he'd go in with it was during the Clinton administration, he'd go in with a $6 bill, which was a joke currency that had a picture of Bill Clinton on one side and Monica Lewinsky on the other side and a couple of lewd jokes on it, the rest of that. But it said six on in the corners of the bill. He'd go in and get himself a Slurpee and a hot dog, and he'd pay for it with a $6 bill, and he passed that. He ran it something like a dozen or 15 times. And the clerks just look at it, and the only problem they had was, there's a space, there's in the money trade, space for ones, fives, tens, twenties. If you go beyond that, the 50s and 100s are supposed to go underneath. They couldn't find a little slot for $6 bills, so they lifted the tray and put it underneath with the hundreds and the 50s. Well, it wasn't a fair test because a lot of these clerks were immigrants coming into this country. But the truth of the matter is most Americans don't understand much more about money than those immigrants do. All we know how to do is count it. And it's a long story, and I'm not going to get into it here, but it determines your access to whether you're going to law or equity in a court. Mm-hmm. All right? It determines whether you get legal title to your property or you only have equitable title. If you're just making purchases with your Federal Reserve notes, you're not getting legal title. You don't own the stuff that you've purchased. It's part of the reason why the government can come in and seize your property. You don't own it. You have a right to use it. It looks like you own it. You get to drive the truck. You get to live in the house and the rest of that sort of thing. But technically, if you understand the concept of money and trusts and fiat currency, the reason government has power to regulate what you're doing is because it's not yours. It's like your automobile. How can the government get off with giving you a ticket because you didn't flash your turn signal? Or you didn't have your seatbelt fastened? There's no damaged party. Historically, if you were going to charge someone with an offense, you had to say, okay, you damaged someone over here. The reason, by virtue of not using your turn signal, we had a wreck here. You're responsible for that. All right, I get that. If you're responsible, you're responsible. Well, what if there's no wreck? What if the fact that I didn't have my seatbelt fastened didn't cause anyone else any harm? Where do they get off giving us traffic tickets? And the answer is because technically they own legal title to the car that you regard as yours. You have only equitable title. And as nutty as this sounds, and as unbelievable sounds to a lot of people, this flows from the quality of the money you use to make the purchase. If you're using Federal Reserve notes, they only contain equitable title. You can only purchase equitable title. All right? You don't get legal title with Federal Reserve notes. You do with money, with gold and silver. Yeah, you can get legal title and equitable title. Wow, now you're in the land of the free. You're in the place where a man's home is his castle. But if you purchased your little castle, you purchase it with Federal Reserve notes, they can tell you how high the grass can grow in your lawn. You think that's my produce? That's not your property. You just have to write to use it. You're a sharecropper. This goes back. I mean, the concept of money is something so much deeper than anyone imagines. They just think, well, it spends, you know. Spends for what? You know, it's like people talk about money being a medium of exchange. Right? Most of you listening have heard that before. Money is a medium of exchange. Okay, I agree that money is. But an exchange of what? What is exchanged when I give an ounce of gold, a gold eagle? If I give a gold eagle to someone who's, you know, who knows? If you've got a flat screen TV, what are we exchanging here? This is a medium of exchange. What's being exchanged? And a lot of people, most people, well, you're giving him, you're exchanging the gold eagle for that flat screen TV. You're exchanging gold eagle for the flat screen TV. And I said, no, you're not. The medium of exchange, what's being exchanged is legal title. Yeah. Buy a car. All right? Everyone thinks, oh, I'm going to go buy myself a car. And they think I'm buying that collection of steel and plastic and glass and rubber and the engine and the brakes and the rest of this sort of thing. That's what I'm buying. No, you're not. You are buying the manufacturer's statement of origin. You're buying the title to the car. That's what you're buying. And what do you do with it? You donate it to the state. Think, oh, that's just some formality. I'm in the car. I own the car. No, you don't. You only owe whatever right is left after you send the real title to the state. Huh? Oh. All of this involves money. All of this involves government's legal control over you and your life and your property. And it flows from government is able to do this because the public is spectacularly ignorant about the nature of money. And that's true for virtually all of us. I didn't begin to figure it out until I was in my 40s, maybe my 50s. Begin to understand, do the research, find out. Oh my gosh, this is important. This is profound. And no one gets it. This is something that should be taught to children in junior high and high school. They should know this. Should know, okay, if I'm only using fiat currency, it's not a medium of exchange. It's a medium of transfer. What are we transferring? Equitable title, not legal title. Medium of exchange moves legal title. We're exchanging legal title to the coin for legal title to whatever property you're buying. Get a Federal Reserve note. There's no medium of exchange involved because the note does not contain intrinsic legal title that's available to either the person spending it or the person receiving it. I got it. Money is so much more complex, profound, subtle, dangerous. And people just, we're dancing around like that people in the time machine. The troglodytes are going to own this country while we are, you know, enjoying the sun. You want to stop the troglodytes? Learn to understand the nature of money. Let's take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on financial survival. And true to my word, when I said I wasn't going to go into that subject, and you get off on this stuff, and it's once you begin to understand it, it becomes something of an obsession. And when it does turn up, you say, "Oh, I'm not going to talk about this."
It's not an obsession; it's a frustration because we understand. I mean, we understand, and we're trying to help the listeners understand to see how important it really is. And just like you mentioned, even Jim Rickards said in the beginning, people really don't understand gold and how it functions as money. And that's what we're trying to accomplish. We've said that time and time again. Jim Rickards says it time and time again. And and you're right. We see it on a paper. And I'm not going to, you know, go on this topic, but it is hard. It is, and there's a lot of complex ideas and laws behind it, but yet it is so important to know, and that's how you're going to protect your purchasing power, is by owning gold. And the simple example that we've been giving for, you know, years and years and years and years, you know, if you had a dollar bill 100 years ago, what would it buy you today? But a $20 gold piece from 100 years ago buys you the same thing. It has protected your purchasing power. And look where we're at in our, look at the value that the dollar has lost in all these years. Look at the world's conditions today. But yet that $20 gold piece will buy you the same thing that it did 100 years ago. So that is the importance. And you can't forget those examples. And sure, we repeat them, but we're trying to get you to understand. So
we're trying to do something that is un-American, all right, and generally not a good idea, but we're trying to edumacate. That was a word that was made famous by our former president, G.W. Bush, edumacate individuals as to, you know, deal with money. What is money? What is it? And it's not just something.
And
we know. It will determine the rights you have when you go to court.
But you know what? The majority of people out there aren't going to court, okay? But the majority of people out there are going to be losing large sums of their hard-earned money. They're going to be losing large sums of their purchasing power. And, you know, a lot of people really don't want to know. I think it's important and it's good to know, but a lot of people would say, well, how do I protect my money? That's all you want to know. And that's what we're here to do too.
Well, you're not even trying to protect your money. You're trying to protect your wealth.
Well, your wealth.
All right. Okay. And there's a difference. And you can.
I know there's a difference.
Your wealth is what you have worked for, what you've earned. It's the total amount of sweat equity that you've invested in your life. You went to work, you spent 40 hours a week, 50 hours, 60 hours, you were paid something. Whatever you saved out of what you were paid is your wealth. All right? Now, if you store that wealth in the form of a fiat currency, you're going to lose a bunch of your wealth. They guarantee it. In the last, 45, 46 years, the dollar has lost 95% of its purchasing power, maybe 96, 97, compared to the price of gold. That's happened in my lifetime.
And why do you think things are so expensive? That's why.
Yeah,
it isn't just all supply and demand, and the economy is great, and things are going up because everybody is. No, it's because the dollar has lost its value. It takes more of them.
And why does it lose its value? Because the government wants it to.
Yeah.
Why does the government want it? Because inflation serves the debtor.
But they need it.
Pay off their debt.
It does, Al.
Dollars.
But it all comes back to they needed the ability to create the amount of debt in order to fund all these programs that they've created over time. And with gold, there was always that accountability. So you can see the process. You can see what they had to do first so they could have their programs, so they could continue funding their programs. You know, so they had, you know, then they took us off the silver so they could continue to fund their wars. Then they eventually closed the final gold window. And at that same point,
before they're done, they may even close cash. I mean, they may even get rid of cash because it still is worth, who knows, a half a cent or something like that per bill, maybe even a couple of cents. What does it cost to make a $100 bill anymore, Melody? Do you know?
Not off.
I think they're all something
head.
Like 3.5
yeah.
cents, which is interesting, which means right now $1 bill, after all it's lost since 1971, $1 bill, basically, however much is left in the purchasing power in a $1 bill is consumed by the cost of making the bill.
Mm-hmm.
$100 bill, that's not the case, of course. Mm-hmm. It costs 3.5 cents or thereabouts to make a $100 bill. That's still a good deal. But
well,
it's all an illusion, and if you want to preserve your wealth, and that's why this program is called Financial Survival. If you really want to preserve your wealth, the money, the savings you've made in terms of the energy you've invested in your life, you're going to have to put it in something tangible.
Not to talk about the primaries, the elections, Cruz, Trump, or Kasich, but it's interesting that this Ford came out today, and we've heard Donald Trump talk about, you know, Ford moving to Mexico. They got other plants in Mexico, but they're doing an expansion in Mexico. We all know this has been coming for months. As I mentioned, you've heard Donald Trump completely talk about this move to Mexico. Well, Ford did the announcement today saying that it's going to be adding a new assembly plant. It's going to create about 2,800 jobs in the next 4 years. Construction is supposed to begin this summer. It's going to invest $1.6 billion into this facility. What I find interesting that they're making this announcement today is they're doing this on a day that it seems to be a fairly important primary in Wisconsin. And you would think with this announcement that that primary would push Donald Trump to beat or at least support his chances. So I find that interesting that they released that statement today.
Well, there's no end to them. I mean, there's another one that I saw that came from, I think it was The Hill. I think it was The Hill, but I don't recall clearly, and I don't have it right in front of me. Call him a liar, and I don't remember what all. I mean, it's clearly just, it's slanderous. You know, it's one thing to talk about. I don't know, we can criticize people's ideas and whatever, but this particular headline was simply slanderous. It was intended to slander Trump, not to discuss him per se.
Well, that
say, well, he's wrong for this reason. He's wrong for
well,
this.
That,
reason.
No, that doesn't
this is
do
slander.
That. Well, that doesn't do this, as I just find the timing of releasing this information is interesting, considering the primary and that the Wisconsin primary is an important to Trump's campaign. So,
well, I agree. I agree, but I'm just saying, you know.
And because Wisconsin lost so many manufacturing jobs. Pardon?
Ford might be ignorant of the significance or don't care about the significance of trying to influence the election or the primary in Wisconsin, but I think it was The Hill. It might have been Capital Reporter. Might even been Huffington. I don't recall clearly. I saw it earlier today. I was just,
Huffington doesn't like Trump.
It's kind of shocking to me.
Yeah,
and I'm not easily shocked. I'm easily fooled, but I'm not easily shocked. All right, and it was outrageous, and yet here it is. Extraordinary election season, you know, talked about it a number of times, but it'll be interesting if you see another election season that is more volatile, as surprising, and potentially explosive than this one. I mean, that's going to be something astonishing to see. This has been an event that historians, or some of them, are just sitting back licking their lips. They're watching these campaigns develop. I can't imagine how many books are going to come out January 1st of next year where they explain what happened in this election. They're being written right now, and it should be a lucrative enterprise for at least some people. What else, Melody?
What's next?
Well, we've got one about... Oh, another one about Trump if you wanted to, but here's something on the Federal Reserve. This was on CNBC today. It's a man named George Gilder, the author of The Scandal of Money. All right, and the headline is, "The Fed is a God that has failed." And he starts out with this article. He says, "Why does Wall Street keep recovering after recessions, but the economy seemingly never does?" That's a pretty good question. He goes on and answers. He says, the reason is that Washington and the Federal Reserve together have created a closed-loop economy where the Fed creates money for the government and the Standard & Poor 500, and Main Street is left out. Now, that's his explanation. maybe he's right. Maybe he's wrong. He's close. But he goes on. He talks about Trump voters, and he says, when Trump voters are wrong if they blame Mexico or China, but they're right about one thing. The economy is rigged against them. And that's true. You know, the American dream has been, since the onset of this country, the American dream has been that each generation would enjoy a higher standard of living than the previous generation. And that dream pretty much held together consistently throughout American history until we got to the 1970s. And since the 1970s, our standard of living really hasn't improved. The American dream has not been functional now for over 40 years. Why is that? Fundamental reason is back in 1971, the dollar finally became a pure fiat currency when President Nixon closed the gold window. And as a constant dollar, the fiat dollar, they'd taken it off domestically. The dollar, paper dollar, could not be redeemed for gold after 1933, couldn't be redeemed for silver after 1968, couldn't be redeemed, not just domestically, of course, couldn't be redeemed internationally by foreign entities up until 1971, even though you and I couldn't trade a dollar for a dollar bill or a $20 bill for gold or whatever. Foreigners could. And in 1971, they closed that window and they rendered the fiat dollar pure fiat. There was no gold or silver backing for it anywhere ever after. Well, I'm going to argue that this is one of the fundamental reasons, and probably the fundamental reason, why everything has just stood still for the last, the economy has stood still for the last 45 years, because we don't have a real monetary system. And one of the things about it is, so long as we don't have real money, that is to say gold or silver, a physical mass, government can play fast and loose with the books. Federal Reserve can cook the books. They can create illusions. In the same sense, that friend of mine who went down, he had a $6 bill and he passed it off in the 7-Elevens and he'd get a Slurpee and a hot dog. People didn't know anything other than the number in the corner. They saw a six. It was a $6. It was a green piece of paper, some pictures on it. They saw a six. That's all they do. We laugh about it on one level, say, oh, those ignorant immigrants, they didn't know. We're not any smarter. Most people don't see anything more than that number in the upper right and left corner of the pieces of paper that we use for currency in this country. Federal Reserve notes. What is it? It's a 1, it's a 5, it's a 10, it's a 20, it's a 50, it's a 100. What else? I don't know. What else do you need to know? It spends. We are very nearly as ignorant as the people that were working in the 7-Elevens back in the 1990s. And it's because we are ignorant that we are being robbed. And CNBC is running the story. They say, oh, the Fed is the god that failed. It's worse than that. They imply that the economic problems that are headed our way are because the Federal Reserve has made some sort of a management error. They failed to adjust interest rates as soon as they should have, or to the degree they should have, or they didn't inject enough money into the economy, or maybe they injected too much. That's they're failing, no question in my mind. That's correct. The Fed is failing. But why is it failing? It's failing because it embraced this idea that you could run this economy with fiat dollars. They said, I know. Why don't we try using these little pieces of paper and we won't back them up with silver or gold and we can just print them whenever we need them? And it seemed like a cool idea. And they tried it, but it was a dumb idea. It was an idea that would enrich some and impoverish most. And we're getting to the point where we're going to see that poverty. And those of you that are caught holding on to those little pieces of paper are probably going to be in for a very unpleasant surprise. Those of you that have paper, you're going to sit back and say, you know, I could have bought myself some gold. I could have bought myself some silver. Back when the price of gold was $1,230 an ounce and silver was less than $20. I could have done that. Why did I do that? Well, the answer will be for just about everybody. We all neglect to do the things we can see they're necessary, or at least they're sensible. But we'll let them go. Let them go. Well, let them go. Watch and see what happens. We're out of time. I want to thank everyone for listening to the program. I'm Alfred Addisk, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. Money, money.